I think the most important thing that he should be doing when he gets there is really to urge the parties to the government of power sharing. I don't think it is necessarily a government of unity. National unity is more a government of convenience, of power sharing. And the main thing that really stands on the way of progress forward, to have a leap forward, is the Constitution. The draft of July really need to be embraced by all the parties. It has been embraced by the MDC, the various branches of it, or the factions within it. But ZANU-PF is really not embraced it, because they say there are certain aspects which they want changed. Now, that is critical. They need the Constitution in order to hold elections. They cannot hold elections without the Constitution. Those were the conditions. So I believe that he will emphasize to them that they really need to take a leap forward. The Constitution will never be perfect. No constitution in the world is perfect, but compromises are there, and it is a step forward. I've looked at it, and I think that it is vastly better than the independence constitution which the Zimbabwe, is using currently. Of course, together with the various amendments which even made it worse.
But Professor Gucho, do you think these two main parties would compromise on this constitution-making process to make way for its implementation and subsequent elections?
Yes, I think that the question is, of course, where centers of power are. And I believe that it is what I understand their squabbles over is who appoints the various senators, and so on. That is where I think there is still disagreement. But one also really hopes that they will have a credible and independent electoral commission, because it is the electoral commission which was a part of the problem in Zimbabwe when elections were held there in 2008. So one hopes that there will be implementation now that in sharing power, they know each other a bit closer. No party is calling the other simply an agent of imperialism, each other, a dictator, and all the time. I think they have toned down their, vitriolic language, and one hopes that they can use that to build, but to focus on the future of Zimbabwe rather than on who takes power, even if it means the elections, there will be coalitions that can be made. So be it, that Zimbabwe can move forward.
Some people have expressed concern about the security situation in the country, with some people saying that ZANU-PF has been using its connection to the military, or using its foot soldiers, so to speak, to intimidate and possibly harass members of the Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's party. Do people expect President Zuma to bring this up when he meets the political leaders or leaders in Zimbabwe?
Well, if he omitted doing it, I mean, he would be failing SADC because the military has been a problem in the elections, creating violence, preventing the opposition from campaigning in certain areas, and terrorizing people in areas where they know that the opposition is popular. So the military need to be reined in, and as I was saying before we got cut off, is that Zimbabwean military really ought to emulate what the military did in Egypt, to be able to say that they are there to protect the people. They are not simply there to protect an individual leader or a political party. Zimbabwe is a multi-party democracy, and that is the role of the military as they move forward. If they don't do that, then in the future, there may be a total shake-up of the military, and they will be the losers if government changes hands through electoral box. So they ought to really protect the people and ensure that they provide security during the elections for all Zimbabweans.